Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
It is 8 o'clock Thursday evening. This is LA Talk Radio, and you're listening to The Writer's Block. I'm Jim Christina in studio tonight with Russ Avison.
I'm over here.
And he is over there waving frenetically, going, hey, 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 hey. And we got we have so much fun stuff to tell you tonight. It's just unbelievable. First of all, I want to say that we are brought to you by Black Dog Publishing, and we're brought to you by Out West Boutique and Cultural Center, and where are they? Newhall. And Bobby Jean is not here tonight because they have their concert series tonight. So, Bobby, have a good time, and happy birthday, incidentally. Tonight's Bobby's birthday. And I hesitate to ask how old she is because it's none of my business.
You want to live another year.
I do. I want to live another year. And I have exciting news. As I mentioned last week, we do have a new sponsor that's starting with us next week, next Thursday. I'm not going to say who they are. You'll get to hear their very first ad probably about a quarter after 8 next Thursday night. And tonight on the Writer's Block, we have two interesting, insane women. Candace and Penelope, or Penny. I believe they're back there chortling right now. Ladies, you here?
Yes, we're chortling.
Okay, Penny, have you found that spot where you're not going to lose your cell phone?
I found the sweet spot.
Okay, then.
We're talking about the phone.
We're off and running. I'm going to let Russ do this introductions tonight because he really wanted to call you guys.
The only thing I want to be able to say, because I've never been able to do this, welcome, sluts.
Oh, Russ, you know how to talk to a girl.
I do indeed.
Thank you, I'm touched.
You guys have written a book that is, it's absolutely phenomenal. And it's just like Horse Sluts, the saga of two women on the trail of their yeehaw. And never, I believe.
You perused it?
I did. You guys sent me a couple chapters and I read it and I fell in love with it.
Oh. No.
Truth.
We're having that Sally Field moment. He really likes it.
I did. I really liked it. Now I got to get the whole book because now you've teased me into submission.
Oh, well, we'll send you one tomorrow.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
In fact, I think I have your address. Aren't you guys in Sherman Oaks?
Yes, but this is a studio.
Anything you mail here, we will never see.
Yeah, well, actually, we did see, but I think Ronan gave it to us by, you know, he kept holding on to it, not wanting to let go. When we get off the air, I will either call you back, and I'll give you the address that you can send it to.
Okay. And I need to ask you, because I think you know that I grew up in the San Fernando Valley, and I know Sherman Oaks. I was there when the big plaza was Bullock's Fashion Square.
Uh-huh.
Were you there long enough to know about that?
I actually grew up down in Del Mar. But,
okay then.
Yeah, we were kind of the beach snots.
I grew up in Del Mar.
Did you grow up in the valley?
I did. I was there when it was still Groves. That's how old I am.
Well, so was I. Where did you live? What part?
I lived SOB, south of the Boulevard on Pettit, where DuPars used to be.
I know exactly where that is. In fact,
you really?
Oh, yeah. I grew up in Woodland Hills. I went to Taft High School.
Oh, no. I'm Birmingham. I'm a Brave.
Oh, well. Okay. I won't hold it against you.
Yes, I asked when you graduated.
Sure, you can ask.
He won't tell you. I'll tell you when I graduated in 1967 from San Diego High School in Encinitas, California.
See, you're a beach guy.
I am.
You're a beach guy. Oh, I love it. Well, it's nice to talk to somebody else who understands what the valley was before it was the whole valley.
Oh, yeah. We used to come up here all the time.
Yeah. In fact, we used to... we lived right near, I don't know if you know, but Topanga and Oxnard.
Oh, sure.
And you know where the Topanga Mall is?
Oh, sure.
Okay, well, it used to be that between where we lived and Topanga Mall was orange groves and fields, and we used to, there was a trail we would take to get over to the mall.
You rode your horses?
No, I wish.
No.
I didn't get into riding. I actually have two horses at my ranch, but I have to admit that all I know about horses is when I see one, I know what it is.
And he has to feed him and pick up horse poop.
I can muck a stall. I can do that.
Penny, what do you call that? Yard art?
Yard art.
Yeah, I finally had to give up my equestrian stuff. So.
Oh, no, you don't. Now you're with two horse sleds. We can help you with this.
I know, but it's going to be hard for me to ride anymore. I've had too many horse wrecks in my long career.
I thought it was the crotch mumps.
No, it was the horse wrecks. Broken ribs, punctured lungs, hospital stays.
Oh, my goodness, you're serious.
I had a heart attack.
We don't rodeo, just so that you know.
What?
We don't do that.
Oh, well, good for you.
We practice staying on, not doing things that make us fall off.
Right. Well, I wish you well.
That plays well in a lot of activities in life, doesn't it?
Okay, Miss Wade, I have to ask you a question.
Oh, please, go ahead.
Can't you just be Candace like everybody else?
No, because that's wrong unless it's spelled with an I.
Oh, I see, because I live on Candace Court.
I don't know. Where's Candace Court?
It's in Simi Valley.
Oh, well, there you have it.
Yeah.
An A. It's a long A from our grammar school education. The E makes the A long, and it comes from the Greek kandakis, which is the Greek root for candle and incandescent, and it was the surname of the woman who was queen of Ethiopia during the time of Alexander the Great. Got that.
Wow, and you did that with one breath?
I did. Well, I ride all day with one breath. That's one thing our trainer is always yelling, breathe, breathe,
right.
Breathe.
Well, you know, getting it, I want to talk to you a little bit about the book, but one thing that I really could relate to is that later in your lives, you both decided to get into the riding. And I personally, I play hockey, ice hockey, and I didn't start that until I was 35. And I still do it now. And so I really could relate to, you know, talking about how the fears are there, but, you know, if you don't challenge yourself, that you'll always regret that. And that's something I learned from hockey, same thing, that, you know, you got to put yourself out there.
Okay.
Penny, you want to talk about it or do you want me to go?
Oh, well, for me, if you find something that you love as much as I love riding, then you need to do it. It's the one thing that when I get to the barn, everything else leaves, and there is peace. It's like meditation. You know, it keeps me sane. And honestly, our chances of getting hurt are probably worse driving across town than they are riding. And I don't mean to make light of it. We wear helmets, and we've taken lessons. We've done things to minimize, you know, anything that might happen that would be bad, an injury. But you know, you might as well go ahead and sit in your rocking chair on the front porch if you're not going to get out and enjoy life and do things you want to do.
That's
challenge yourself.
That's exactly right.
I get that. I get that.
We wrote this, we talked about it, but I wanted this. When you and I started in our 40s, I don't think I was really thinking about the danger aspects. It wasn't until we really started to get into it and did some really dumb things and then started to work on the book, that it became real for me that you need to take these things on as you mature. Otherwise, the fears will take over and you lose the value of your life. And I think I really discovered that when you and I were sitting down and working on this book and thinking, okay, this isn't just some, you know, picaresque chronicle of, you know, Penny and Candace have a good time together, but how other people will relate to it, or how we can make it so it's going to be a conversation among us and the readers. And part of that was Penny and I sort of take things on just because it seems like a good idea after we've had a couple glasses of wine and we find ourselves in the middle of things. We have no idea what we're doing, but we're having so much fun. Let's go ahead and do it. And the horseback riding and the book writing was very much like that. neither one of us really had a clue. And you gentlemen probably know, and you get this, that if you write something, it's sort of like standing outside with your underwear showing. It took a certain amount of guts to take up the writing, continue the writing, and then write a book about it and risk that people are going to think you're totally stupid or boring or who's going to care. And I think we both, one of the many things that Penny and I feel is if we're not a little bit scared, we don't feel that we're really living.
Well, if you're not a little bit scared, you're also not respecting the size of the animal.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, you know, they're big and they can hurt you.
Well, let me tell you, when we talk about the fear part, it really kicked in for me when we were on Yellow Face. I don't know if that was a chapter that you got to read or not.
No, I didn't.
But I thought I was going to die on the trail. And I'm serious. This is, I thought I was going to die. And with some of my childhood things that happened with me, I had learned for years never to show fear or weakness because it would be worse, you know? And I had finally, through therapy, learned that I could do that. I could be vulnerable. So as we're going down this side of this cliff, I was being vulnerable, and I yelled out, "I think we're going to die." And I heard this voice come back from in front of me on the trail that said, "Well, I'll miss you." And it was like, "What?" And I can't say what I really said.
yeah, you can say anything here, but...
"I'll miss you. You just wait. If I make it down..." So we did get to the end of the trail to the even ground. And I said, "What is this? I'll miss you." And she said, "What?" I said, "Well, I'll miss you." She goes, "No." I said, "I'm scared too." And all I could think of was, "Oh God, I hope she didn't hear what I yelled."
The word echoed through the hollows of Big South Tennessee. What?
I actually yelled that once on a Southwest flight.
Oh.
only I threw the F word in there. And
you
it was loud.
Beach, right?
The entire airplane heard me and then started laughing.
I love it. Yeah.
You know, there's some occasions that call for it. That's all I can say.
I agree with that. I totally get that scenario.
But that's the thrilling thing. Well, there were two things that were really important to me about that ride, and that was our first long trail ride. We had been riding on our trainer's property, and that was lovely. And, you know, we'd go out on little trail rides. But Penny had found this fabulous place, and we went out. And the usual, the guy that was running it actually wasn't there that day. He had an overnighter, so they put us with a 19-year-old, which two women of our age should realize that you don't listen to some 19-year-old guy. They don't know what they're talking about. That's why they send them to war. But they said, "Do you want to do this?" And we said, "Great." And it was absolutely terrifying. We never should have been up there, but we survived it. We did it, and they even closed that trail for quite a while. I don't remember. Did they say they reopened it, but then it was starting to deteriorate again, and they closed it again?
They had opened it, and they would go up it, but they wouldn't come down, and they opened one to the side of it. And it's been so used now that it's kind of gotten in bad shape. So
we did it. We survived it. We did. Our juices were flowing. We did what we needed to do with the horses, even though we really didn't know what we were supposed to do with the horses. And there were two things. One, don't ever listen to a 19-year-old boy. And second of all, we did it, and we will always have that. Nobody can ever take that away from us. And I still feel really proud about that.
Sure. Hey, let me take a minute here and give out some phone numbers in case some one of our many listener wants to call in and talk to you guys. The number here, if you want to talk to Candace or Penny, is 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. And you will be talking to the horse sluts, Candace and Penny. Okay,
I love that.
Okay, why the horse sluts? I got the back page, and it's, you know, about you're breaking it down, adjective, blah, blah, blah. Why sluts? Why not, like, trollop?
Oh.
Well, I guess trollop doesn't sound as good as slut, does it?
Ring to it. Yeah, I mean, sluts will do anything. which is what we do for a horseback ride, right?
Sure.
Right. Well, exactly. On a literary sense, it feels in the mouth. If you have more than two syllables in the second word, I don't know. It sounds constricting. It sounds confused. But horselet, it's right there. There's no arguing with it.
Actually, it sounds like a sneeze.
In their tracks.
It sounds like a sneeze. But I love the title, and I totally get the part of the getting on the trail of your yeehaw. I mean,
do you want to tell us why?
Well, sure, because everybody wants that youth back. Everybody. I mean, you know, I'm not going to say how old I am. You can probably do the math on your own. But I mean, I would love to have those days back too. You know, you get.
Yeah, I think that's true. But what I also think that is sometimes people don't. When they get more mature, like a fine wine, they don't really believe that they can have pieces of that back. And Penny and I discovered that we could. We find lots of things that we enjoy doing together, but the riding, we always come off feeling strong and powerful, and we wear our chaps over to have Chinese food afterwards.
Spurs too?
It's I use the word zazzy. It just makes us feel pizzazzy. And the shame is that I think that a lot of people don't feel that they can find something that makes them feel that way. And Penny and I talked about it, that that's one of the things that we really wanted to focus with the book. It really wasn't about us. It was about encouraging other people to give it a try, that we're not going to teach you how to ride, and we're not... 3-day eventers. We're just like anybody else on the street, and we get nervous, we get afraid, we have screwed up days. But if we can do it, then really anybody can. You just walk out the door and you do it.
Right, right.
Well, you know, there's something else too. Is that as I read it, and not being a person who is interested in riding, I like the horses, as I said, but I'm not interested in riding. But I in the beginning, first chapter, you know, Penny. You talked about, you know, you were molested as a child and you felt you had no control over what was going on in your life. And I kind of saw that this doing this at in your 40s was a way that you could really get out there and take control and really put yourself out. And everything that was happening was because you made the choices.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And I had been in Taekwondo for 5.5 years. I tested for black belt and I missed after one out of three board breaks and my leg muscles up and couldn't go on. A lot of that energy I had channeled into self-defense or protecting myself. Mm-hmm. With horses, there is a teamwork aspect for me anyway. There's no way that I can outfight a horse. I can shoot a 357 and qualify for the Tennessee State for police officers, but there's no way that I can outfight a horse. So there's an aspect of working in a partnership with this animal, respecting it, but at the same time not being afraid of it, and having to have that vulnerability that speaks to me.
Interesting.
I find it amazing that you two are you talk a lot about, you know, bonding with the animals and getting the self-respect, the horse is respecting you as well as you respecting the horse. But being horse sluts, I believe me, I use that term with all admiration.
Oh, but how many times have we heard slut this evening so far?
Well, like that. Probably 147.
I've got news for you. There are two women in a group in Kentucky that made the mistake of liking our site and then read that it was horse sluts, and they are just all over the place unhappy.
Really?
That anybody would use that word and how disrespectful and how horrible it is. So I'm just sort of sitting here kind of grinning because they're missing out on a lot of fun just because of a word.
Well, of course. And, well, you know, Kentucky is where they invented the toothbrush. You didn't know that.
No.
In any other state, it would have been called the teeth brush.
Oh, I love it.
Feel free to use it.
I will. And I apologize. I interfered with your train of thought, so.
Oh, actually, Oh, yeah. Okay, here we go. How often do you riding these animals where you're allowing yourself to really get to respect them and have them respect you?
That's an interesting question. I'm going to have to think about that one. I think for me, it's a little bit different because of my upbringing. I work on letting go of control. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean that I want to let the horse control everything, but there is a part of me that works for absolute perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And perfection can also breed tenseness. So one of the things that I need to do is just sort of relax and feel it more musically rather than with my head, rather than analyzing everything. So as far as having the control or, you know, being the dominant over the horse, I would say with both of us, we know that we need to be the leaders, and Penny and I are pretty good leaders. However, this really does need to be, as far as I'm concerned, more of a partnership. And what I've learned is that rather than just put it all on my shoulders, I also have to trust the horse. And for me to learn to trust somebody or something else and feel that it's going to come through and not try to find all the little pitfalls that may happen, because then you often create them, is, okay, I'm going to be the leader. The horse needs me to be the leader, but I need to trust that horse, mm-hmm. too, so the horse will then trust me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, in fact, I was reading that you had written a pet column, Hillary's View.
Oh, yes.
How long did you write that for?
Oh, boy. That stretched for quite a while. I think that was on and off for about 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
And the interesting thing for that for me, and I didn't totally understand that until we started to... I wrote some screenplays that I never sold, and that you have to create characters and they need to have a consistent voice. And when writing the pet column, it was my dog, her expression, and she was writing the column.
I see.
In fact, the silly editor of the newspaper wouldn't let her write political things because he thought it was disrespectful for a dog to write political things, and Penny had to say, "Do you understand that the dog is not actually writing?"
and how appropriate would it really be if the dogs did comment on the political issues in this country, because it's I think closer related.
But she got to say things that I might not say, and she got to say them in a way, she was part pit, part lab. So she could say them in kind of a toothy way that I might not, and it helped. Writing it that way helped me understand that I do have different ways of expressing myself. And when Penny and I were working on the horse sluts, and we'd sit on the couch, and sometimes I would. Penny has this steel trap memory. She remembers every horse's name, everything that happened. I remember more what it felt like and what it smelled like and that type of thing. So we would sit and we would rehash some of these stories. And because she is so smart, sometimes when she would write it down or begin to talk about it, it sounded, how am I going to say this? It sounded it sounded very thought controlled, where Penny is a consummate storyteller, and her phraseology and the way stories just sort of burble out of her like a sparkling creek, that's what we needed. And because it truly was a co-writing, it wasn't one person just writing all of it, and the two voices need to be there. So going back with Hillary's View, I got more used to being able to say what needed to be said in the voice that would be consummate for this dog. And then it translated when we were writing this book that it was important that who we were came out of the quote-unquote voice that we were writing. Again, does that make sense?
It does. And I think you were very successful in the fact that there are two distinct voices in reading the book. It's quite obvious who's speaking at the time without having to look and see, you know, whose story is being told at the moment. You can tell. And I was going to ask you, how difficult was that to put that together? Because, I mean, obviously some of the stories that you have are things that happened to you together, but these individual stories, how did you piece it together? Did you say, here's my part, here's my part, let's put them together in the book? Or did you say we should have a chapter where you talk about this, I talk about that? What was the collaborative sessions like? You know, how did you actually come up with this?
Do you want to start, Pam?
Yes, we started, to the very start, Candace said, throw up on a page. Just kind of stream of consciousness, just write. And so we started writing about different events, different stories, different things. And I would shoot her my stuff over because she's really the writer. If you look at the way that she writes, it's beautiful. It's detailed. When I read, I tend to go straight to the action, and I lose a lot of the adjectives. Read really fast. But you can tell by the way that she writes, she just paints a picture for you. And it's wonderful. I am a storyteller, so it's easier for me to tell you, and my hands wave, and I make expressions and all of that. So I would send it to her. She would look at it. She would edit it. And she took it and just pieced it all together. We would get together, and she would say, this sounds more like you're writing for work. Mortgage operations manager for a bank. She said, this sounds more like you're writing for work. It's too business. So she would do what she called pennyize it, and I would talk, and she would write. She'd be frantically scrambling along, but let her tell you more about how her process to go through and then put it all together.
I don't think when we started this, we actually had a lousy horseback ride, and we plopped into the pool at the arena where we ride, and we were floating around commiserating at how crappy it was, and decided what we do to make ourselves feel better is we will regale each other with the stories of things that we've done, and we laugh and have a good time. We decided to write the book, but I don't think either one of us really thought what co-writing was going to mean, and I actually went on the internet to see examples, and there's a couple called the Saucy Sisters here in Tennessee who have written a book, The Little A Person's on Guide to Wine. But you can tell it's really one voice. It's one person writing. But we're a pair. We're a twosome. So Penny's pretty much right. We just sort of started writing various stories and trying to pull together the ones where we were together in it. But it actually was... That was a scary process, too, because how do you actually co-write? And we wanted to have the two voices. A lot of times, as Penny said, she would send me pages, and I would type them up, and then we would talk about it. But we would curl up on the couch with a sandwich and a Coke or a glass of wine or something and say, okay, now, tell me. Don't write it. Tell me. And we had to try to figure out a way how to show that it was two different voices so it wasn't convoluted for the reader, and it was a fun and it was an interesting process, and once again it was something that neither one of us had a clue how to do, but we figured if someone else can do it, we can do it, and we just kind of kept working at it and would allow other people to read it to see if it made any sense, whether the story was really on the page or whether it was confusing and how it was going to work, and then we started to get into a flow in it, and I have to say that I am so pleased with our effort, and we have had so much fun with it, that even if nobody else liked it, we're really proud of all that we accomplished, not having a clue of what we were doing, from the writing to the writing to doing these interviews. And I'm lucky to have this friendship. We love being together, and the writing of this book has given us this whole other chapter of our lives and the family that we've created around the country with you guys and Gary and this darling girl named Jenny that I met, that Penny just met her. We did a book signing together, and she does equestrian jewelry, and she started to ride in her 50s but was afraid of horses, jumped to mules, and not only to mules, she became fascinated with side saddle, and she started riding side saddle and jumping side saddle, and she too has a story that I've started writing some articles for mature lifestyles, and Horse Nation has printed one of them, and we're trying to get stories into other horse magazines, but we're finding this whole family of people who are a lot like us, who take a deep breath, take a deep swallow, and go do something totally amazing, especially something physically. But even the act of co-writing or writing or publishing it or getting out there and doing a book signing, it is scary. You never know. What if nobody shows up? But Penny and I both feel, well, as long as we're there together, we're that much ahead and we're already a party. So anything that happens after that.
There you go. There you go. Hey, look, I'm going to take a real quick break. You guys hang around for us, would you?
Yes.
Okay, then. And we'll be back here in just a few seconds. Let me see. Here I go.
They saw guns on the hillside, or so they'd agree. A band of vicious outlaws, but only one was seen. He had a cloth sack on his head, a shotgun in his hands. He didn't fire a single shot when making his demands. He just said, throw down the box, he ordered from the road. Throw down the box, it'll lighten up your load. I only want the money from the Wells Fargo line. You can go on your way.
And we're back. And I see we have a call coming in from the Booker. So hang tough. Booker!
It's the fan.
Okay, I got to see how I join. You guys can't hear us, can you? No. All right, how do I join them? Oh, resume call. Okay, wait a minute. I don't know how to link them. Crap.
Well, if you can't, just take my question.
Yeah.
And ask them and tell them it's nice to meet them. I hope their lip gloss is on and their hair is teased. But I want to know how they became friends and how they got to Memphis and how long they've been friends and that kind of thing.
Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. Ronan's in here now making me feel dumb. Merge calls. There we go. Oh.
We live?
Candace, Penny, are you here?
Yes, we're here.
Okay, and you're also on the phone now with the Booker.
Hello, Booker.
With Jerry.
Hi.
That's Jerry Christina you're talking to.
Oh, it is. Hello.
Yeah, I was glad to get your email, and I hope your lip gloss is on, your hair is teased, and sitting up straight and all that stuff.
Well, we got to be pretty for the radio.
Absolutely, I agree. I have a question for you.
Leopard skin pumps when she, mules when she is in the
How long have you guys known each other, and how did you find each other? And I guess I want that kind of backstory to find out a little bit more about you.
Go, Pen.
Oh, we met a dear friend of mine. Went on a trip to Ireland with a group. They were really nasty people, except for Candace and Bill, who happened to be there as well. So they became friends, and they were still living in San Francisco at the time, but had property here in Tennessee. So on one trip when they were here, she planned a party and invited me and some other friends, and we all met. And Candace and I hit it off. During that party, at one point, we decided we were going to come out with a new product called Skeet Cream, because another friend had spent an hour the weekend before watching her husband's skeet video. You know, when you close that one eye, and it'll tend to wrinkle. So we had this whole commercial, everything down to the Skeet Cream, and a pump-action dispenser. And, you know, and then we got into the fact that now that she was in the South, she needed to buy a shotgun and have it, and that she would come down, if anybody ever come onto the property that she didn't know, she would come down the front stairway. And
my chemise.
Yeah. What are you doing on my property? And so we just sat there and totally entertained ourselves, and it didn't matter if anybody else was entertained or not. We were just rolling and laughing. Her sweet husband, Bill, was just looking at us like, oh, my God, who is this? And what are they doing? And this could be bad. And so we got to be friends. We kept in touch over the Internet and email. And when they moved here, we got together. I wanted to ride. She wanted to ride. We found a place to take lessons. And we haven't stopped. I mean, it's just, she's a sister. You know, we're sisters.
Wow, that's great.
I love.
You know, it's very rare in, I don't know, as people of our age, I don't know how you are, how old you are, but I'm old, but to have a real friend, you know, that you can count on, that's fantastic. That's amazing.
Absolutely, and it's such a gift to be able to call somebody and say, okay, you need to talk me down. I just need to hear that somebody else out there is having some kind of a normal day because mine's falling to SHIT. I don't know how much you can say.
You can say that.
They will just talk to me, and then, oh, I feel better. Or she'll call, and she said, just listen to me for 5 minutes. Just listen to me for 5 minutes, or I'm going to shoot somebody. And we understand each other. And when we love our driving trips, we can talk the whole way to Columbus, Ohio, or we can just be quiet. And to me, to be able to be in a car with somebody and feel so comfortable to be quiet is almost sweeter than able to chat the whole time. And it is such a gift. And one of the things we were talking about, Jean, before you came on was with this fun book, besides the further knitting of me and Penny together with the other people that we've met. Penn, tell about our first horse sled trip that is coming up in September, and Diane and Mary Beth and the whole thing.
Oh my God, well, you know, Candace is a writer. She is going to write, and she's doing articles and all of that. My goal with the book in long term, we want a really cheesy country song, and we want a movie, and then I want to go to places to ride. I want to do riding trips and introduce people to places, find out about them, get the word out about, if you're a slut and you don't own your own horse, you can still ride and do these great adventures. So we're going to Big South Fork. That is where Yellowface is. That is, we're not doing Yellowface, but we're going to Big South Fork to ride with Larry. And we headed out there, and one of the women who liked our Facebook page and started following us, we talked about it, and I said, you need to go riding with us sometime. She said, when? Where? Well, she's coming in September from New Jersey.
New Jersey.
She's coming from New Jersey. She's bringing her two nieces. And then our charity that we support is Horse Haven, and they do rescue. They rescue horses in Knoxville, Tennessee. And one of the women from Horse Haven is going to come down and ride with us as well. So we're building, we call it the bouquet, but it may get so large we're going to have to come up with something else. But it's our community of women and some men who are out there enjoying this, bonding, and are going to have a great time.
Well, that's great. That is fantastic. And
it'll be lovely. And one of the reasons why we're going out is there is an equestrian campground, and they also have a mercantile shop, and they carry our book, which is actually how this man from New Jersey, they were out riding, and her husband said, you're a slut, you need this book, and he bought the book. Wife, husband, to say, hey, you're a slut, you need this book. But they are a crock pot out at True West, and people are laughing. Stop it.
You have no idea what you've gotten into.
They are doing a benefit for our Best Animal Rescue in Jamestown, Tennessee. So they asked if they would come out and do a book signing and be part of this whole thing. So we said yes, and we put it out, and Diane's flying out from New Jersey, and Mary Beth is coming out from Knoxville. We don't know these people, and I told my husband, well, Diane's coming to ride with us, and he says, who's Diane? I said, well, it's Diane from New Jersey, and he says, who is that? I said, well,
I don't know.
She liked us on Facebook. He said, what is he saying? I said, well, we picked her up on Facebook. She's flying out from New Jersey. She's going to cabin to ride with us. Whatever. Bill just knows you either get left at home
or you get with the program and you just get in the car. And bless his sweet little soul.
Well, now, that's a true horse select.
That's fantastic. Listen,
and it is from one foot
to another, it was so nice talking to you, and I'm sure the guys have more questions to ask and short of time. So I will say goodnight. And
thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful interview, and thank you.
And thank you for helping us.
Thanks for calling in.
To hear your voice.
Thanks, Bookie.
And you too.
Bye, Jerry. Bye, Jerry.
Bye, Jerry.
Bye.
Okay.
You know, the only word that I've noticed that's coming running second next to slut is wine. It seems like wine is involved in much of your collaboration.
Yes. Well, you have to fortify, you know. You, there's a little backbone going on there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's W-H-I-N-E type, although there's some of that, too. But, oh, yeah, and when you get a little older and things get creaky, you know, a little gin and tonic or a little glass of wine just kind of loosens everything up.
Oh, for sure.
Well, let me tell you, we have an official drink after our last trip to the Southport.
You do? What is it?
Gee, that's really surprising.
Had found this stuff for a little different bottles for a gift basket that we're doing, auction off. And
right.
we had been on a ride, and, you know, after a ride, Bill always wants a nice cold beer if it's been really hot. Well, we forgot the beer. So we went up to the little convenience store to get beer, and the lady inside, I don't think she'd had a happy life. she was not a happy person. And it was just kind of a creepy place, but, you know, you didn't have a lot of choices.
Anna.
So we go in, and it's like, oh, we're going to wander around. Oh, look, you can buy fishing lures. I mean, everything you ever wanted in there. Well, I'm over here looking up and down. My God, you know what I found? It was Kinky is what it's called. It's a six-pack of Kinky. Now, Kinky is our signature color. And Kinky is a malt beverage that has got grapefruit and all kinds of other fruit juices in it. And it's really good.
And it must be healthy with the fruit juice.
Yeah.
It's definitely healthy. Yes, yes. It's just like, you know, vodka is like chicken. It goes with everything. Well, Kinky does too. So we brought it back, and we had Kinkies out on the front porch of our cabin. And it's great. I've got to take a picture and post it. But Kinky is the only beverage. It's the right color. It's the right flavor. Right after a ride, when it's really hot, it's a perfect drink.
You cannot beat getting Kinky on a hot summer afternoon with two sluts.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah, that was a gimme.
Somebody had to say it. Come on.
Not that we weren't already thinking it. Hey, Penny.
One of the sluts is a hooker.
There you go. Hey, Penny, not to be outdone, you took up equine massage and Reiki and working with horses and dogs.
Yes.
And
I do not want to rub nude people that I don't know.
I'm sorry again?
I said not people. I do not want to rub or touch nude people that I don't know.
Oh, I don't blame you there either.
No.
But working with dogs and horses, that's pretty cool.
It's very cool. When I took my classes for the horses, it's amazing. When you start working with them and they start to relax, they start to yawn. I worked on a pony that had foundered before and had lots of issues. And she was a little bit low to the ground. And by the time we got through, she's leaning on me. And I'm saying, honey, you're going to have to stand up because I can't hold us both up.
Was she snoring?
I'm sorry?
Lower lip was quivering.
Was she snoring?
She was snoring. Her lip was quivering. Her eyes were heavy. And she yawned and yawned and yawned. And I've done Reiki. Horses and dogs both respond so well to Reiki. They don't have to understand how it works, why it works. They just accept it and go on. And we went to the guys that we used to ride out in the country. He had about 8 walking horses that just ran loose out there. And we would go out, and there was a horse called Bones who is, they call him a hard keeper. Because the reason I called him Bones, as soon as the weather started to get cool, he started to lose weight. And we were out there one day, and he walked up, and he had a terrible eye infection. It was draining. It was horrible. So I started to do Reiki on him. And we immediately started calling vets, calling his owner, calling everybody we knew. But he stood there, and the first time I've seen him, he ended up with his head just laying on my chest and head in the area as he relaxed. And had to drive off with him standing there looking at us and where are you going, and just about broke my heart. But he totally accepted what I was giving him or what was coming to him from me, that energy, and I worked with it. And it is a wonderful thing. I got a huge gift from my dogs and from horses, and that's just a little bit of a way that I can give back to them.
Now, I've seen her do it, and it really does work. I've seen the owl. She did it with one of my dogs, and who was very, very sick before I could get her into the vet. And she just calmed her down with it, and it was really quite amazing to watch Penny do it.
Well, you know, Russ is a dog trainer.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's why
tell us about that.
Well, you know, that's why I was asking about your article, because I think the dogs also are looking, they don't want to be in charge. They are looking for leadership. And in listening to what you were saying about the horses, I think it's the same thing. When they don't know who's in charge, they feel like they should maybe try and do that, but they're stressed about it. And when you take control in a loving, gentle way, they're putty. They love it. And then they will respond any way that you need them to, and it's really a give and take relationship, just like you were saying with the horses.
Yes, I completely agree, and that's something that I learned a few years ago. Unfortunately, it wasn't through the life of my first dog, but I kind of got it towards the end, and it's that balance, and I can see a change in myself from working with the dog that actually did translate to riding the horses, and it's that like you said, the leadership with kindness, but you have to believe that you have to believe that you're the leader. And even if something, we sometimes have issues out here with people just letting their dogs run free, and that was one of the things that Hillary and Hillary's View would write about, because we would walk and you never know what's kind of come dashing at you.
Right.
And my first response, of course, is to take a deep breath, my heart stops, and I get nervous. So that translates down the leash. And if I do that with the dog, like as you said, she's going to feel as though she needs to take over, and it could exacerbate the problem. But it's the same thing with the horse. If I am thinking too much about all the things that could happen, or if I tighten up, the horse is going to feel that, and somebody needs to lead on the trail. I love learning new things, and I love learning new things about myself, and working at this, learning this concept and working on it every morning. Hello, sweetheart. My doggy just walked in to say hi.
Oh, fantastic.
Go on. Lucy, is this true? Yes. That working with her every day with this and with myself, and then translating it when we go riding, and how I approach the horse before I even get on, it's a settling within me, and I just love it. It helps. I'm growing, and because I'm growing, the dog is happier, and our walks are happier, and I can tell that the horse that I ride is a lot more relaxed about it. And it all comes from me believing in me and then translating it to the animal. So, yes, thank you for being a dog trainer or a people trainer and getting that across, because it really solves a lot of problems that people think they have with their dogs, and it's really with themselves.
Oh, you are so right on with that.
Hey, real quick, let's start with Ken Dacey. Can you give us all your contact information? You can omit your phone number, but, you know, email and websites, and
yes,
et cetera, et cetera. And then we'll go to Penny.
Yes, I would love that, especially since everybody out there, we want a great horselet song, and we're working on a treatment that we would offer as a suggestion. We want somebody to make a horselet movie, and we think Sandra Bullock would be absolutely fabulous in one of the roles, but that's a pitch. Okay. My email, my first name in small letters, CANDACE, and CA for California, at earthlink.net. And we also have our website, which is Penny Candy Productions, that's a plural, .com. And the Horse Sluts Facebook, we would love people to talk to us on the Horse Sluts Facebook and share pictures and their stories. And we're all going to get together and have this massive horse slut ride.
Do it in California so you can be in the studio with us.
I would love to. I grew up in the valleys. I need to come out there and see you guys. And Penny and I will come, and then maybe we'll go riding in Griffith Park because I hear they've kind of made it nice.
Yeah, they did, and they actually rent horses out there now. So
wonderful. Go, Penn.
Go.
Oh, P. Langley, P-L-A-N-G-L-E-Y, 58, at gmail.com. And then Candace has given you the website and the Facebook address. We also have a horseluts at gmail.com, so that if you miss either of our personal addresses, you can always just remember horseluts at gmail.com. One thing, please don't go to horseluts.com. If you do,
oh, don't.
You will
no. Yeah. Don't go there.
And so remember Penny Candy and nothorselets.com.
Okay.
Don't we tweet or trickle or?
Oh, yes, I'm horseluts.com on Twitter. We have a Pinterest page at horseluts. So come see us on all of those places.
Excellent, excellent. Hang on for a little bit, ladies, while we close the show down, and then I want to come back on with you and give you my address.
All right.
Will you do that?
Jim and Russ,
thank you so much for being here with us.
You're lovely, and we want to come out and meet the two of you.
Oh, absolutely. That would be so much fun.
Thank you so much for having us. It's been a real pleasure and an honor.
And before you go, let me give you our audience seal of approval.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
There you have it.
Oh, I love
okay.
it.
Okay, hang tough.
You're so nice. You're just so great. How lovely you are.
Hang.
And I miss Bobby, and we should have sang happy birthday to her.
Oh, we probably should have.
Delightful. Thank you so much.
Oh. Okay, hang tough. We'll be right back with you.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, gals. Okay. Golly, we're right at the end of our time here.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. This Thursday's gone by like a flash. We'll be back next Thursday. Russ, you got any closing thoughts?
No, my brain is all slutted out.
I know, huh? I'm just like totally slutted out. Again, thanks for listening. We'll be back next Thursday where we're going to have Dr. Charlotte Law, who is a very interesting woman, actually quite famous around Southern California. So please, 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 if you listen to any show, listen next week. And have a good evening. Have a good week. And we are out of here. Girls, you there?
I'm here.
Okay.